It's time for the Sandler Training Hour on Newstalk 670 KBOI. Here's your host, Jim Stevens.
And welcome to the Sandler Training Hour. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. Each week we bring you Sandler talent from all over the United States. In fact, all over the world. I have made friends with Sandler trainers who are making an impact in their communities. And I'm honored to have as my guest today, Brett Baker, who is in Springfield, Missouri. Brett, welcome.
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate you saying you're honored. And this talent word might be exaggeratory in my game.
Well, you know, not only are we humble, but we are talented.
Yes. So, what's interesting is when you say those is that we are forced to walk the talk, otherwise we're hypocrites.
That's
so
a
what
fact.
Happens, you do this every day, it just tends to be second nature to
it. Does. And that's the importance of this ongoing reinforcement. I've been doing this for 18, 19 years. How long have you been involved in Sandler?
Jim, if you count being a client, which I was terrible at Sandler, it didn't mean anything till it meant something. But I studied it as an associate for about 4 years, and I've been a franchisee for six. So
yeah,
I 14 years.
Yeah, that's a long time. And even now, if I didn't train it two or three times a week, I would forget it. It's that ongoing.
You go back. It does. You tend to go back to what's natural, and what's natural is to give them the answer and show up and throw up and want to help them earlier than they want help.
It is so true. And what we're going to be talking about today is we're kicking off with the first step in the process. Our jargon for it is the upfront contract, and it's really an agenda step. Yeah. David Sandler said the upfront contract is the contract. So at this stage, you set up to close the sale, and if you do a weak job here, you're going to have an extended pipeline. So with that, share with our listeners a little bit about this thing, the agenda step.
Yeah, so Jim, if you study Sandler, there's components to this thing we call upfront contract, but there's a couple of them in there that I see even sales professionals miss when I'm on a conference call or a ride-along or something. They'll miss these two, and if you're a note-taker, the two would be our agenda and the outcomes, but I'm assuming that you're dealing with purpose and time and getting what they want to talk about first. But when it's our turn, and for us to be able to share what we're listening for in this sales call or what we're looking for, I had a gentleman the other day say, Brett, my word is, I like to say, these are my intentions in this next hour that we have to talk. We want to share with them what we're trying to accomplish and do so they're not mystified, so they're not surprised and coming out of left field. So what that might sound like in a very consultative world, so let's say you were sitting with somebody and you said, hey, one of the things I'm listening for is just simply not only a desire to do something different, but is there even a commitment level high enough to do something different? So as I'm listening for that, I'm also listening to see if you have the humility to even tell me the truth about that. Don't take it the wrong way, but can I have permission to test that humility? And that's a real equal business stature thing, whether it's simple or complicated. When you tell them what you're looking for, listening for, what your intentions are, it straightens their spine. They have a subconscious feeling of, okay, this isn't the way I thought this was going to go. This is very clear. So that key piece there is critical. So then it sets you up now to talk about the outcomes, which is another step in that upfront contract. And the beauty of outcomes is that what I hear people miss is the no. One of our four positive outcomes in this whole conversation piece is we don't want no, but we're okay with no, and we got to get our head around no, so let's talk about no. And what I don't see people do is going to the no first. They'll say something about, we'll see if this is a fit when we're done, rather than saying, Joe, a couple things will happen when we're done here. One is, if this isn't a fit, let's be okay telling each other that first. On the other hand, if we see or hear something that says, let's have another meeting, or let's talk again, or maybe we can take a small step, I don't know, we'll figure it out together. Most people, Jim, don't go to the no first.
Yeah.
I think that's a key piece.
And the vital reason to go for that no is it sets the client at ease because they're used to being sold, and they start this call typically with their defenses up because nobody wants to be sold.
Yes, that's so critical. You know, in the Sandler selling system, or it's our strategic customer care world, our job as professional communicators is to drop their guard. And one of the ways to drop their guard and do the ease thing, like you just said, was tell them what your intentions are, tell them your agenda, give them the outcomes that knows a possibility, and we're okay with it. And you're right, you can see the body language change right at that moment. It's weird for them. They're not used to it, but
right.
It's a good weird.
I really like your statement a little earlier when you talked about telling them what you're listening for, telling them what your intention is, because equal business stature that creates is in the mind of the person you're talking to. They think they're there to interview you, but what you're saying is, I'm here to interview the buyer, and it just changes that whole relationship.
Yes, that's key. So at that moment, if your listener is processing that, that should be a moment where everybody kind of takes a breath and everyone's kind of in agreement. It's the moment where our rule is no mutual mystification takes place. Everyone knows what's going to happen. At that moment, that's when you can interrupt the pattern again, differentiate yourself again, and you go a little bit vulnerable by saying, can I tell you my concern before we get started? An example might be, Joe, my concern is sometimes I get my gut feeling I want to ask a tough question, but I don't know as if it's appropriate or if you'll take it the wrong way. If I get that sense I want to ask it, can I just go there? And most of the time, the human beings are going to go, yeah, sure, go ahead. Well, I hope you would. But that's another pattern interrupt to this whole process of communication. The sales thing is sharing a concern, sharing a fear. It could be something you're looking to avoid, or I want to talk about what's the elephant in the room.
It is so refreshing once you have embraced the Sandler system, because it's really unselling.
Right.
In a traditional concept, the salesperson is there trying to peddle their wares or demonstrate their expertise or show off their skills in some way to compel the buyer to say, you know what, I really need your help. But the Sandler system, it turns that whole paradigm around. And as you said, there are four positive outcomes to every call. So let's go through those outcomes one more time.
Everybody loves the yes. Positive outcome of a conversation with an opportunity is some form of yes, whatever yes means. Yes, write the check. Yes, get out the paperwork. Yes, let's have another meeting. Yes, let me get my partner in on this next conversation. Whatever yes is, it's a cool word. We all love it. But once a person is okay with their self-worth and they're okay with the truth, they'll be very comfortable saying, another positive outcome is no. Let's not have any next step, because I want to be the first person to know it's a no, not the last person to know it's a no. Jim, that may not be the case with some of the people listening to this, but I have felt the pain of being the last person to know, and I didn't know. I actually thought I had a chance, but I didn't know it was already over. So when I started talking about this no up front, let's just be candid with each other, and if it's a no, let's tell each other. That was refreshing. You're so right. Sometimes people will say with their slip, if I can't get a yes or no, then a maybe. But that's kind of a bad word in our Sandler world. A maybe is a slow road to really know. It's usually in the form of some sort of a lie to make everyone feel okay. If they can't give me a yes, or it doesn't make sense to do a yes or a no, or they're not the right person yet, we really just need a clear next step, a clear future. And what's interesting is sometimes people will hear a clear future sound like this. You know what? This looks really good, Joe. We might possibly maybe consider doing this at some point. Why don't you give us a call in a couple months and see how we're doing? And you hear all those wishy-washy words, and people go back to their sales manager and say, hey, I got one. But we've got to be trained to hear that as that's not a clear next step. A clear next step is let's regroup Tuesday at 10 o'clock and we'll communicate. Not sure if I'll have the answer, but we'll communicate. And then the fourth positive outcome, Jim, would be the introduction to someone deeper and wider in the organization, if it's a large enterprise, or it might be an introduction to some other opportunity, or the classic referral conversation. So yes, no, clear next step, and an introduction would be a positive outcome. So I love those because it makes sales management easy, Jim. All they got to do is say, hey, how'd the call go with XYZ company? What positive outcome did you get?
Right. And you're even seeing the no as a positive. If you've been in sales longer than a month, you've had one of those sales calls where you had a great conversation with someone. You really struck a nerve with them. You felt there was a deep connection. You left feeling that positive, this is going to go somewhere. And then they go dark. And you're thinking, what really happened? So if you get caught in that, Brett, what would you recommend someone do if they accepted that think it over, which is really a slow no, and they're thinking, how do I get back in the game or get out of it completely?
Yeah, so are you asking that from a reference, Jim, as if they've already done it and they've got to get back in?
Yeah, now I got to figure out, how do I either get back in or how do I close this opportunity so I'm not lying to myself?
I think a lot of people fall into that trap. So we can always start the conversation again, obviously preferably be face-to-face or phone, but if it has to be email or text, we've just got to figure that out. Sandler has a concept of going left or stay or struggling or going not okay. I know I'm throwing out some buzzwords there, forgive me, but most people want to feel okay. So if you are the one that goes not okay first, it's a test to see if they rescue you. And one strategy, Jim, might be to say, hey, Joe, I think I really dropped the ball here on something. I'm confused. I'm not sure where I missed it, but I don't believe we have a next step to communicate. Help me. And so therefore, that's a little different pattern into just following up to say, hey, have you had a chance to think about what we talked about?
Yeah, and then you become the stalker.
Yes.
Brett, we're going to go into a break. When we get back, I'm going to talk to Brett. We're going to talk a little bit more about how do I deal with some of those things that are maybe a little bit uncomfortable to embrace, that elephant in the room. How do I expose that and deal with it deftly? Brett, give your contact information in case there's somebody out there who'd like to reach out to you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. My name is Brett Baker, so I'm bbaker@sandler.com. bbaker@sandler.com.
And I'm Jim Stevens. We'll be back with more of the Sandler Training Hour just after this. Hi, this is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. Business leaders today know the largest business expense is often labor. However, most leaders fail to see the greatest labor expense is employee turnover as a result of a poor hiring decision. We have a two-hour workshop on Tuesday, March 24th from 2 o'clock p.m. to 4 o'clock p.m. on how to hire and grow your dream team. In this workshop, you will discover strategies to identify and hire the best candidate, benchmark the ideal traits for the position, assure a cultural fit with your company's core value, and harness leading indicators to make sure that you get the results you expect in the first 90 days. Enhance your hiring skills. Invest $89.95 to attend on Tuesday, March 21st, 2 o'clock p.m. to 4 o'clock p.m. at the Sandler Training Center, 704 East Heritage Court, Meridian, Idaho. Register at crossroads.sandler.com or call us at 208-429-9275. Crossroads.sandler.com or 208-429-9275. And welcome to Behind the Business. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. In this segment of our program, we get to meet the people and hear the story behind some local businesses. You've probably heard the ads on the radio for Zero Res, and I have the owner, Dave Grigsby, here in the studio with me. Dave, we're going to be talking a little bit about the value of maintaining property. Because here's what I think typically happens, just even at my home. I've got a couple of areas where I probably ought to have the carpets cleaned going up the steps. It's heavy traffic, couple of other heavy traffic. Got some hardwood floors that I personally get down on my knees and scrub at least once a month. And I never know if I'm really doing a good job because in a hardwood floor, you can't even see the dirt.
Right.
So give us some of your thoughts as an expert regarding getting the most value out of your home.
Absolutely. You know, and that's one of the things that's really important. We know how much it costs to, say, replace an air conditioning system or a roof, but carpeting is actually one of the most expensive, and flooring is actually one of the most expensive things that you can do to your home. So we do want to maintain it, keep it looking nice. And not just for the value and keeping the stuff looking nice, but also for your health and for all those things. So the first thing I'm going to recommend everybody do is make sure you're vacuuming and sweeping on a regular basis. Vacuuming regularly means vacuuming those heavy traffic patterns, like you said, daily, actually.
Oh, really? Really? That often.
Wow. And so pretty rare that I meet people that do this. In the 10 years I've been doing this, I've probably met 15 people that I believe vacuum
are
on a daily
diligent basis. Yeah, right.
But their carpets are in fantastic shape, so we want to make sure we're keeping that up. Heavy traffic patterns are typically from the entrance to the house, into the kitchen, into in front of the couch, into the TV, and then into the master bathroom. So getting that area done on a weekly basis is fantastic, or on a daily basis would be fantastic. Even 2 to 3 times a week is really, really good. If you can do that, carpets will last a lot longer. Same thing with wood floors, tile floors, any of those kinds of things. Just that easy, immediate vacuuming or sweeping, doing that regularly, number one thing you can do.
Because if you don't, the dirt that's on the surface is just being ground into.
Right. Get scratchy, you get things scratched. Carpet is made out of plastic. A lot of people don't realize that, but 98% of carpet is made out of plastic. And so it can get scratched, it gets damaged, it bends, it breaks, and then it looks ugly. And the same thing with wood and tile floors. So vacuuming, getting them professionally steam cleaned every 12 to 18 months for just about every surface, or more often. I actually clean my carpets every 6 months.
Isn't it hard on your carpet to clean them that much?
Nope.
I've heard people say that.
Nope. Well, if you use the soap, it is. If we're not using any detergents, then no, it's actually better for your carpet to get them cleaned regularly.
Huh.
Okay, so getting them cleaned regularly. The next thing is to reapply a fiber protector or to put a sealant down. The maintenance coats on the wood floor, those kinds of stuff, will help to protect the underlying surface, make it easier for you to maintain them and do the regular cleaning.
And is that something your firm does also?
We don't do the maintenance coats on the wood, but everything else we do.
Huh. Yeah. So give your contact information in case somebody listening to us would like to have you come pay them a house visit.
Okay, it's 383-1000. 383-1000 is the phone number, or zeroresboise.com.
So we'll be back with more of Dave after this next segment of the Sandler Training Hour. And welcome back to the Sandler Training Hour. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. My guest today is Brett Baker out of Springfield, Missouri, the heartland of the United States. He's been in Sandler for, 11 to 15 years.
Yep.
And we've been talking about how do I make sure that I set up the relationship in an initial meeting with a prospect to be on equal business stature. The key there is to let them know you have an intention and are listening for, is there a desire for working together? Is there a commitment to do something different? And do they have the humility to be willing to change? When you ask those questions in the beginning and then follow that up with, you know, we may decide that there really isn't a good fit for us to work together, and I want you to feel very comfortable telling me thanks but no thanks, it changes the dynamic of the whole meeting. So now we're into the meeting, and oftentimes there's an elephant in the room that you really need to deal with. And Brett, I found that most salespeople avoid that like a plague. Let's just skirt it and hope it never comes up. What's a better way to handle the elephant?
Yeah, so the way you said so well there, if we've set this thing up to where they've given us permission, and if we've really haven't rushed that, we haven't done some preamble like it's some scripted thing, we've really stayed in there eye to eye, knee to knee, and set this thing up to really go there, and we've actually flashed that if it happens, are you okay for the go there? I believe almost every conversation has an elephant in the room. It's just whether people go there or not. It could be you walk in the room and that guy stinks and nobody tells him.
Right.
I mean, whatever it is, there's probably an elephant. There's an elephant in the room in business. It's usually leadership is not doing something they should, and so therefore the employees are pointing their fingers at that. So whatever it is, there's usually one sitting there. So it's one thing to get the antenna up for it. But if you've set up the meeting right, when the elephant is there, it's having the internal self-esteem. It's not having the head trash to block you. So it doesn't go from our gut and filter up through our head, and we don't do anything about it because our brain will talk us out of it. So once we have that meter going good, if we know, we see, we feel the elephant in the room, now we have the tool to go there.
Right.
And with our Sandler questioning strategies, we can play that on the plate and ask questions about it. So, for example, let's say we're sitting, you're selling to a higher level leader or a business owner type person, and your gut is telling you that they're part of the problem of what they're telling you. So maybe that humility piece is kicking in, but your gut's going, oh my gosh, they're the problem. So
right.
That's going to filter up through your head, and if your head says, well, don't say anything, I want this piece of business, I want to offend the guy, I want him to like me.
Right.
If you would just say, Joe, time out for a second. Can I ask you the tough question that you gave me permission to about 15 minutes ago? I've got one. Can I go there? Don't take it the wrong way. I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable, but here's my question. Are you part of the problem? And if your tonality is not sarcastic, if your tonality is not accusing him of it, if it's a nurturing parent-adult type tonality, Joe, can I ask you a tough question? Are you part of the problem of what you're telling me here? And guys, the irony is they always say yes. I've done this for years, and I've never had anybody deny it. They say things like, well, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, of course I am. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't. They say these definite statements, but that moment where they subconsciously see, feel, and hear you differently than anybody else they've been in front of, that's the person that actually sees you now as a vendor with that equal business stature you desire, that business partner, consultant, trusted advisor type person, because you're willing to challenge them. And what the other irony, Jim, is what's behind the elephant in the room is not only the truth, it's the money. And that's, we just got to have the guts to go there. But I know it takes people a while to have that. Got to build a U-triangle that can go there.
So let's give some other examples of an elephant in the room. What comes to my mind is, and this is probably very simple, but many of us are called upon to give a bid when we know it's not in our best interest to do so.
Yeah.
If somebody's really not committed to going forward, but they say, why don't you give me a proposal? Is that what you're thinking of?
So let's say you're sitting there real live in the meeting, and you're being invited to a bid process or a conversation, but your gut's telling you, you know that you know that you know this company has worked with your competitor for the last 5 years, or they always choose that company on these projects. But your brain's saying, hey, they invited you to the meeting, we got a chance here. The elephant in the room moment, the EITR, E-I-T-R, elephant in the room, would be, hey, Carol, can I take a time out for a second and just tell you what my gut's telling me? Here's my concern. You've been doing business with XYZ for the last 5 years. You're happy. Okay, so when you say you're happy, you've invited other people to the process for a reason. Help us understand that. I'm confused. So those are questioning strategies. Those are staying left moments, and you got to study Sandler to get your head around those. But it's really your gut telling you they're going to use the people they've used the last 5 years, or they're inviting us just to get another number. We go there. It's
right,
the elephant. And
right,
if we nurture it, Jim, and we're not sarcastic or rude about it, they will either... Here's the problem. It doesn't mean they're not going to use them and use you just because you went to the elephant in the room. What you're going to have is the truth.
Right.
And that's what changes the whole conversation.
When I first started Sandler, I bought the franchise because I own a remodeling company and I was having trouble doing way too much unpaid consulting. And just by using that strategy, the elephant in the room for us was our company is not the cheapest remodeling contractor. We just aren't. We know that. We don't want to be. Our business model is intentionally to be higher priced because we're better quality. And I was spending so much time because I felt obligated to give a proposal to anyone who asked me for one. And Sandler gave me permission to say, you know, I have a concern I'd like to share early on, and it may save us some time. And that is that if you're looking for the lowest proposal, we should probably stop now because I have never been the lowest price.
Yeah.
And then I throw the ball at them and say, your thoughts. And it's amazing what you hear then.
People, they love the truth, and the irony in that story is people will pay more if they know why.
Right.
And the why is in their heart. Jim, if we have time, it reminds me of the person that was selling a service, and he was $150 higher than his competitors, and the lady called him and said, hey, we want to use you, but you're $150 higher than your competitor. Will you come down to his price? And he says, ma'am, probably aren't going to be able to do that, but let me ask you a question. Why do you think people pay us more? And she goes, well, I don't know. And he says, in his gut, the elephant in the room is she's never going to pay more. So he says, ma'am, let me ask you a question. Would you ever pay more knowing it's less over here? She goes, well, maybe. He goes, why would you do that? She goes, well, because you probably would show up on time and do what you say you're going to do. And he says, that's it. But you're not going to pay more for someone who's going to show up on time and do what we say we're going to do. She goes, yes, I would. And then she says, put me on the schedule. And that guy who is learning that process says, I didn't have to do all the stuff I normally say. I just went to the elephant in the room. You're not going to pay more. And she says, yes, I will.
I think the beauty of that scenario you've just outlined is that never once did he say, well, people pay more because da 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 da. It has to come from the buyer's voice, not from the seller's.
Yes, their idea. You know, another example, Jim, was just, are people happy? Sometimes people get in sales situations and they assume people are not happy and that's why they're there. But to go to the elephant in the room and just say, Bob, can I challenge you? Is that my sense is you're happy with who you're using now and you're having a conversation with me for a reason. Help me. That's not something that you have to be afraid of. That's just the truth. But I got to tell you, Jim, I was one of those guys afraid to do that. Mm-hmm. I was a low self-esteem. I was a peace and harmony guy and a behavior style, and I didn't want to ruffle any feathers. But what Sandler taught me is to get my self-esteem bulletproof and get permission to go to the awkward moment. Joe, can I ask you an awkward question? My sense is you're happy and you really don't need anybody else to quote this. You're just going through the motions to satisfy a two or three bids.
It becomes the truth serum. Now, they will tell you what their true intent is, or at least give you a little bit of a peek into what they're thinking. In the first 6 months using Sandler, my work week went from 90 hours to 60 hours.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
And the change was this, exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I stopped doing what we call in Sandler unpaid consulting because I got my self-esteem up. I gave myself permission to let people tell me no, which if you're somebody who loves selling and loves yes, that's really hard. How do you accomplish that, Brett?
For me, I can't speak for others because I was one of those guys that I wanted the yes, and I didn't have the self-esteem. I needed the approval of the person I was selling to. I needed them to like me. And what Sandler taught me to do was get my identity side of my game, the self-esteem side, to believe that I'm worth 10 on a scale of 1 to 10, and I don't need approval from anybody. I'm going to succeed and fail on roles, but I am who I am, and I'm a 10, and I don't need this. I need sales, but I don't need this sale. So I started to get that bulletproof. It's a nurturing thing. It's not a cocky, arrogant thing. But when that kicks into place, and then you start talking about no, and you start to realize it actually has the opposite effect. People come closer when you talk about the no, and you're confident. It's over. So then you just add this elephant in the room piece. What's behind is, you said it best, it's truth serum. It's not going to give you the yes. Going to the elephant in the room gives you the truth. But if you're in a true consultative sales game, not selling a commodity or something, it really sets you apart from everybody else, and they subconsciously look at you saying, you get me, you understand me, I need you to challenge me.
They start to see you as the trusted advisor.
So, Jim, you know, Sandler's got that rule, a compelling emotional reason to do business with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I only saw the two words for years, emotional compelling reason. But when you start going to to the elephant in the room and talking about no, then the other part kicks in. They have a compelling emotional reason to do business with you, and you're just representing a company. That's a trip.
That is. So, Brett, give your contact information in case there's someone out here who would like to reach out to you and ask you some more questions.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. My name is Brett Baker, so it's two B's and boys. So my email is simple, bbaker@sandler.com, bbaker@sandler.com.
And I'm Jim Stevens. We're going to be back with the Entrepreneur Radio segment of our program just after this break. If you happen to know of somebody locally here who has a great story, actually probably doesn't need to be local. If you're even remote, you can call in. I'd interview you. We'll hear your story, and we'll let your success be something that our listeners are able to learn from. You can reach us at area code 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275, or on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. We'll be back just after this. Hi, this is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. Business leaders today know the largest business expense is often labor. However, most leaders fail to see the greatest labor expense is employee turnover as a result of a poor hiring decision. We have a two-hour workshop on Tuesday, March 24th, from 2 o'clock p.m. to 4 o'clock p.m. on how to hire and grow your dream team. In this workshop, you will discover strategies to identify and hire the best candidate, benchmark the ideal traits for the position, assure a cultural fit with your company's core value, and harness leading indicators to make sure that you get the results you expect in the first 90 days. Enhance your hiring skills. Invest $89.95 to attend on Tuesday, March 21st, 2 o'clock p.m. to 4 o'clock p.m. at the Sandler Training Center, 704 East Heritage Court, Meridian, Idaho. Register at crossroads.sandler.com or call us at 208-429-9275. Crossroads.sandler.com or 208-429-9275. And welcome to Behind the Business. This segment of our program, we get to meet the people and hear the story behind some regional businesses. I've got Dave Grigsby, who's the owner of the Zero Res franchise here in Boise with me. Very interesting, Dave, having you on the show, because I'm starting to realize some things that I probably knew but hadn't really put together, one of which is the fact that if you aren't regularly maintaining your floors, keeping them clean, keeping them vacuumed, you're just wearing them out prematurely.
I like to compare it to either changing your oil in your car, or if you're not a car person, brushing your teeth on a regular basis.
That's good. And it's something we'd never think of, brushing our teeth once every 3 months.
Some people would.
And so talk to us about, it's cold and flu season. I just got my flu shot yesterday. Don't know if that's a good thing or not.
I'm impressed that you're still standing.
Right, right.
Everybody else gets the flu.
Yeah, right. So tell us, what does your business do to help prevent some diseases that are common in cold and flu season?
So one of the biggest things that we found in terms of preventing illnesses is making sure that we're staying clean. So one of the things that we do, obviously we're a cleaning company. We'll come in, we can clean and sanitize most surfaces in your home. So now we're not doing the maid service, you know, dusting and that kind of stuff. But when it comes to really getting in there and deep cleaning your carpet, your floors, your countertops, those kinds of things, we can do all of that. We've also got products that help our empowered water. The water that we use to clean with, we sell that as well. And that's really good because it's a sanitizing solution. So it'll clean and sanitize most surfaces. Now, a lot of times people think about those wipes, the sanitizing
bleach wipes.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't realize that when you can't use it on a porous surface. Well, stainless steel is porous, granite is porous, glass is porous. So you can't use it on any of those surfaces. The other thing is they're not cleaners, they're sanitizers. And in order to sanitize, you have to keep the area visibly wet for like 30 seconds to sanitize, to actually disinfect something with the really powerful stuns. You have to keep the area visibly wet for 3 minutes.
Wow.
Otherwise, you end up with these things called super bugs. And we hear about those, the super staph infections, the super stuff, because viruses and bacteria can become immune to those killing agents. Okay, so we want to make sure that when we do clean, we clean thoroughly. We don't just wipe something off, that we actually really try hard to get those surfaces clean. Paying attention to things like TV remotes, light switches, doorknobs, those are areas that people touch all the time without thinking about it, but that's actually where most germs are
passed
passed around. Mm. Dirtiest places in your home, it's not the bathroom, it's actually the kitchen sink and the TV remote, usually the dirtiest places in the house. Mm. So really trying to keep those areas clean.
And I'm thinking countertops, because I have granite. I know granite is porous. You wouldn't think it is, but it does. Yep. It stains. So what do you do to make sure your granite is germ-free?
So first of all, making sure you get a good cleaner like the Empowered Water on it, wiping it down regularly. The other thing that we can do is we have a sealant that we can put on. It uses nanotechnology to fill in all of those tiny little pores. It's not going to fill in the gouges or the scratches, but it does fill in the pores, and then that way your countertop is actually a sanitary surface. It's actually approved to be used in kitchens, like commercial kitchens. Granite's not allowed in commercial kitchens because it's so porous and bacteria can grow. But ours is allowed when we treat it, we can put granite in a commercial
kitchen. So your firm will come out to a client's home and take care of all this stuff, clean it, seal it.
Yep.
How often do you recommend people are having your company come in?
Daily.
Every day. Yeah, right.
When it comes to the granite, you know, we like to clean the granite about once a year. We do a good deep cleaning on it. When we put the sealant on it, assuming it's maintained using our products, then it's the last time you'll ever have to have it sealed. Good. It'll last forever.
Good. So awesome. Give your contact information, Dave, in case somebody would like to reach out to you and have you pay them a house visit.
Absolutely. It's 383-1000 or zeroresboise.com.
And my name is Jim Stevens. This is Behind the Business. We're going to be back with one final installment of Dave Grigsby and Zero Res just after this. And welcome to Entrepreneur Radio. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. In this segment of our program, we get to hear the story of local and regional entrepreneurs, and I'm thrilled to have with me Cheryl Scott in the studio today. Cheryl's got a background. She's a very competitive athlete. You've been involved in golf. What else were you involved in, Cheryl?
I was actually a national racquetball champion, and I played semi-pro softball when I was in high school.
Wow, awesome. And it bleeds through into her life because she's a go-getter. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So today we're going to talk a little bit. I'd like to have the history of how did you get in to Nerium International. So give me the background. What were you doing that led up to your commitment to being this product supplier?
It was very accidental. At the time, I was selling real estate, and I ran into a girlfriend, and I asked her what she's doing, and she says, I'm selling wrinkle cream.
Wrinkle cream. And you thought, what's that?
I thought, what the heck? I want some, is what I said. So she invited me over for pizza and really good wine, and so I went over, and before I knew it, I walked out, and I had signed up to join some company.
And the company's name is Nerium International. So can you tell us the origin of the name?
The name is from the company. The product actually was discovered from Nerium Biotech. Hmm. So it was kind of from the biotech company's name, and the company was eventually going to go international. So they were forward thinking in the name.
And it's a consumer direct sales force. Tell us about the structure of how Nerium takes their product to market.
Yes, it's network marketing, but it's a little bit different than direct sales, where it's just one-on-one, friends, family, and neighbors, and hopefully other people, but you're just looking for people who, for this product, who care about skin.
Yeah, so it focuses primarily on skin care.
So far.
And what's the magic dust?
It's actually a patented ingredient discovered by Nerium Biotech while they were doing research for skin abnormalities or skin cancers, and the people kept coming and going, I don't know if it's working for what you're doing, but look at my wrinkles, look at my face. So they kind of started developing it to go into that direction, but they didn't know what to do about a business. So they looked at a whole bunch of different ways of marketing this product they had that was working phenomenally on multiple concerns with just one step, which is really unusual. So they looked at direct sales, they looked at TV, on retail, all kinds of different things, and they settled on this model.
What I love about the network marketing model is if you have a good product that you're selling that has value to the people that you connect with, it lets someone who's looking for an opportunity to build their own business really to become the CEO of their own company. So talk to us about your mindset as you started into this endeavor.
Well, that's exactly what I loved about it, Jim, is I had been an investment in the stock market, in real estate, and we kind of all know what happened in 2008, and none of us had really much control over what happened. You know, your money was either here or gone, and you had nothing to do with it. And so with my sports background, I've always loved to work hard and be rewarded for my own efforts. After I saw this product and that it worked, I thought, oh my gosh, this is like a dream come true for me as somebody who is competitive and likes to work hard for your own efforts, because this model is perfect for people like that.
My guest today is Cheryl Scott. She's with Nerium International. So Cheryl, how long have you been selling the Nerium product?
4 years.
4 years. And you're successful at it. You've actually learned how to make a living doing it.
I have, and I love it. I've learned how to help other people also make a living, which to me has become what I'm really passionate about, because I've been very fortunate, but a lot of times people who are fortunate, unless you're giving people or handing people money, there's no other way to help them.
Right. Help themselves.
Help themselves or help them succeed. Yeah. So for me, this is like the teach somebody to fish instead of handing them fish. Right. It was a great answer for me because I love to help people.
Because I think a lot of us hear of network marketing and we think, think, oh, no, I don't want to be involved in that. I don't want to be sold something. And if I think about joining, then I'm pretty soon going to run out of all my friends because they won't want to talk to me. I'm so busy trying to sell them. What makes Nerium International different from the traditional network marketing?
All of the companies, you know, the ones that are good and successful, there's lots of billion-dollar companies out there. It's one of the biggest industries in the world. And it's not so much how the company wants you to do it. It's how each individual wants to market themselves because you're the CEO of your business. So some people, just like used car salesmen, some will listen to who you are, what your needs are, and then provide you maybe options to solve that problem. And other people just throw up all over you, thinking everybody wants it. Here, you got to buy this. So, you know, then your neighbors run in the house when you drive by and whatever. So I've kind of looked at it as more like marketing or actually promoting more myself, but just looking for people who are looking for either great skin or an opportunity.
And I think it's also great that it's a product that has a proven benefit. So share with our listeners a little about that.
When I signed up, we get a kit, we get product to sample out, and we got a book called The Slight Edge.
Mm,
so
love that.
I had no desire to do the business, but I did take my before pictures, and 2 weeks later, I took my after pictures, and when I saw the results, I grabbed that book and read the book. So the book, to me, it was like my, what would I call that? Like, it's how I've either been successful or unsuccessful in everything I've done. Like in sports or everything, I've either slight-edged myself into success or out of it.
You know,
it's like every decision you make gets you closer to or further away from goals or your desires, right? And so the author of that book is the CEO of our company.
Ah.
So to me, when you're looking at real estate, you want to look at location and value. And so real estate, it's location, but it's the value. And in stocks, it's who's running the company, what are they doing, what
How
are their
well
philosophy. And so to me, that part was a no-brainer. And then the product is patented, so it's not going to be in Walmart. No offense to Walmart, but for a business owner, that protects your business.
Your business, yes.
Yes.
So I love the concept, too, of slight edge. I have a quote that I use when I'm doing some public speaking to help illustrate a slight edge, and it's from the 2014 PGA. The top 100 income earners in the PGA earned on average $2.3 million. The bottom 100 earned on average $93,000. So the difference is $2.2 million. And if you look at their stroke points, less than 1 point. Less than 1 point difference between making $2 million and making $100,000. That is the significance of the slight edge. So in your product, the slight edge that you provide, I'm guessing, is one, the help and assistance you give the people you're mentoring and training, and two, about the product that you're offering. So share with us your interpretation of the concept of the slight edge.
Well, my interpretation of the slight edge is anything. This is a great time to talk about it, too, because it's New Year's. So everybody's got their New Year's resolution, and it's always big and grand. I'm going to the gym every day. I'm going to work out 2 hours a day, where they would be better off to say, okay, I'm going to work out 20 minutes three or four times a week and do it consistently over a long period of time than to do it for a week for 10 hours a day. So it's stuff that's easy to do and easy not to do.
Right.
It's easy to come to a sales class, and it's easy not to. It's easy to make your phone calls, follow-ups, and it's easy not to. So it's kind of the idea that every little increment you're moving, making the right decisions, you're getting further along because you've got accumulation factor, I guess.
Consistency is the little decisions we make every day.
Every day. Everybody says, oh, Cheryl, I want to be as good as you at golf or whatever, and I'm not that great. But I said, well, then you got to practice every day. It did just happen. I practice every single day.
That takes discipline. So share with our listeners, how many people do you have in your network that you work directly with mentoring?
Well, at my organization, I have teams in Canada, Mexico, Australia, Japan. We're opening in Colombia pretty soon, Hong Kong, and Europe. And I have 2,200 people on my team, and I probably work directly with maybe 10 to 15 of them, because that's also the beauty of this industry is it's leverage. You're not doing all the work. You're not their boss. They're all the CEOs, so you're all kind of more cooperating to build each other's business as opposed to, I'm your boss, go do this, and I'm not in control of all these people. They're in control of their own self. So.
And how did you get so many remote businesses built? Do you have a local group too?
Yeah, I have a local group, but just people who know people. We can build anywhere. So the other advantage of our industry, or at least this company especially, is you are a part of your own U economy. So if you're in Canada, you can participate in Canada's economy, but you can also participate in the U.S.'s economy, Australia's, wherever we are open, you can have business there.
Well, talk about diversifying your portfolio, right?
Yes, because the countries, like for the other countries, a lot of us are up and down. The economy in different countries, you know, it fluctuates for everybody.
Right.
So like in Japan, it's huge. Because people over a certain age in Japan retire, and there's not much else
to make
income. They go live with their families. Or in Canada, the dollar's not so great. But they're participating in this business, so they get economies all over.
Yeah, that's awesome. So give your contact information for listeners in case there's somebody who'd like to reach out to you and find out more business, maybe more information, maybe even have a conversation with you.
You mean like my phone number?
Sure, yeah, whatever want.
Well, my phone number is 208-867-3499. I have a website. It's Fiercepreneur.
Fiercepreneur.
I don't know that I can just spell it out.
I can't spell entrepreneur.
FIERCEPRENEUR.com.
I love that.
So that's my website. And you can email me at CherylScott@FiercePreneur.com.
Awesome. That's terrific. Well, Cheryl, thanks for being a guest. We're going to have you on Behind the Business and get to hear a little bit more about how do you find people that are good team members and what do you do to help mold and shape people to be successful on their own. I'm Jim Stevens, the host of Entrepreneur Radio. We'll be back with the next segment of the Sandler Training Hour just after this. Hi, this is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. Business leaders today know the largest business expense is often labor. However, most leaders fail to see the greatest labor expense is employee turnover as a result of a poor hiring decision. We have a two-hour workshop on Tuesday, March 24th from 2 o'clock p.m. to 4 o'clock p.m. on how to hire and grow your dream team. In this workshop, you will discover strategies to identify and hire the best candidate, benchmark the ideal traits for the position, assure a cultural fit with your company's core value, and harness leading indicators to make sure that you get the results you expect in the first 90 days. Enhance your hiring skills. Invest $89.95 to attend on Tuesday, March 21st, 2 o'clock p.m. to 4 o'clock p.m. at the Sandler Training Center, 704 East Heritage Court, Meridian, Idaho. Register at crossroads.sandler.com or call us at 208-429-9275. Crossroads.sandler.com or 208-429-9275. And welcome to the final installment of Behind the Business. My guest today is Dave Grigsby. He's the owner of the local Zero Res franchise here in Boise. You've probably heard Dave's ad, and some of you probably have had him pay you a house call. Been great having you on the show, Dave, because I'm hearing things that I didn't realize were so important, and it makes me wonder about duct cleaning and respiratory health. People have allergies. Those are airborne. Ducts, I think most people don't remember the last time they did clean their air ducts. So talk
or
to us about...
Or if they've had them cleaned.
Or if, yeah.
That's something that you know, it does a couple of different things, but definitely we're moving into cold and flu season. It's time to we're buttoning up. We're kind of coming inside. It's getting nasty outside. We're turning on the heater. We're not ventilating. We're not getting fresh air from the outside in. And so things can, now is the time that we start passing those germs around. The kids are back in school, you know, and everybody gets sick at this time of year. So getting the ducts cleaned out helps because we can get, A, your lungs aren't being bombarded by the dust, okay? And so your immune system is just one less thing that the immune system has to fight. So when it comes time to fighting the real germs, then it can. Germs and bacteria, molds, those kinds of things can grow. Most of the dust that's in your house is actually you. It's your skin, hair, that kind of stuff. And so that's a food source for bacteria. So getting that out of the house is a fantastic way of eliminating illnesses and asthma and allergy and those kinds of things. So getting those cleaned out on a regular basis is a great thing to do.
And is that like once a year recommended?
Most people, most companies recommend getting it done every 3 to 5 years. Depends on how often you change your filter out.
So. And so when you come in, do you change the filter also?
We actually have our own filter that we sell. It's a permanent air filter, but you just take it out and hose it off.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a really good, really good filter. It's made by a company called Filtration Manufacturing. They're out of Arkansas, but they're a fantastic filter.
And it fits in
We custom make it for you.
Oh, you custom build it to fit whatever the air air filter size you have.
Yep, so we've got that. We've also got some air purification products that we have by a company called Healthway, number one health company in the world. Huh. So we've got some Class 2 medical devices and some other cool things just to help keep those germs and stuff down.
Who knew?
I know.
I thought you were a carpet cleaner, right? You guys do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, well, you notice on my card it says indoor environmental specialist. So I do a whole lot of different stuff that'll help to make your indoor environment a lot better.
Yeah, it really does. Carpet cleaning, tile and grout, upholstery, pet odors, ducts, and health.
Health,
right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Give your contact information, Dave, so if somebody wants to reach out to you and have you come pay them a visit, they'd know how to get in touch.
It's 383-1000, 208-383-1000, or you can find us online at zeroresboise.com. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Pinterest.
You're out there. You're out there. All right. Awesome. Thank you, Dave. Listeners, we're going to be back with the final segment of the Sandler Training Hour just after this. And welcome back to the final segment of the Sandler Training Hour. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. We're talking this segment about the concept of understanding commitment. And commitment is a strange thing. In fact, my guest today is Brett Baker. Brett has been talking to us about how do I establish an agenda that gives me permission to disqualify the buyer. That puts us on an equal business stature where I'm saying to that buyer, you know, we may not be a fit. And if that's the case, I'm going to be comfortable telling you I really can't help. Will you be okay with that? In the second segment, we talked about how do we deal with those things that are elephants in the room? It's a big issue we want to bring up. It isn't culturally embraced to talk about those unpleasant things. So how do I give myself permission to bring up those things that may make the buyer uncomfortable? And then in this segment, we're going to talk about how do we get commitment? Because here's a challenge that I think many people in sales have, Brett. They go into the selling relationship more committed to success than the buyer is.
Yeah, so if you've got this thing set up well and you've gone to this elephant in the room, and I'm going to use a buzzword here, but when you study the Sandler pain funnel, it moves that conversation, that elephant in the room conversation, it moves it from surface pain into some business reasons, and there's a key there that you want to quantify those business reasons, if at all possible, and then you don't skip the personal impacts or the impacts personally to that conversation. So if you don't know that is, get a hold of the Sandler pain funnel and understand that process. What I wanted to share here is that when you have your meeting set up to go there, you go there, and you're using your pain funnel and the elephant in the room stuff, how are you going to wrap that up and move along in the process? One of the ways to do that is to prove to the person that has just shared with you probably some uncomfortable stuff, is to play it back to them. One of the things we learn in Bonnie Rapport is always be restating or paraphrasing back. You don't want to overdo it, but the anchor word might be to summarize and get an invalidation of what they said. So it might sound like this. It might say, Joe, let me play back what you just told me and you tell me if I've got it right. You told me that you're dealing with X. Last 18 months probably it's costing you $100,000 and you're disappointed, but not only disappointed, you're frustrated. Did I get that right, Joe? The phrase, did I get that right, is now him validating. There's sometimes they nod their head and they say, yeah, you got it right. There's sometimes they go, well, let me share this, and they go on for another 5-10 minutes on a deeper level of that pain step or that elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to rush that. You want to prove to your people you're listening to them. So we have this acronym at the end of this pain step called SVIC. It stands for summarize and validate. You play back what they told you and you validate and you get validated. Then you don't want to assume, never assume that it's important enough to take action on it. So it could be a rhetorical question. And because the subject, Jim, sometimes is a little bit hot, you could say to them, so Joe, tell me, how important is it to go after and fix this? Take me off the table. Take my ideas I have, put that to the side. Just tell me the importance of this for you. Sometimes they snap back and they go, well, of course it's important. I wouldn't be sitting here for this last hour if I wasn't important. And what's happening there is they're moving from intellectual to emotional. And the Sandler process wants us to eventually get our clients into that child emotional state because that's where their decision process starts. So don't be afraid if it's a little hot. And sometimes people will say that's a rhetorical question. Of course it's important. So you've got summarize what they're telling you. Prove to them. Get validation. Don't rush that moment. Relax. Rub your head. Broadway play put on by a psychiatrist. Is it important enough to fix? And if they validate that piece, then say, tell me about the commitment level. But guys, gals listening to this, Here's the key to this word commitment. It does not mean, or we're not getting the commitment level to do business with you yet. It's too soon. We're not there yet. That's for fulfillment down the road. What I'm challenging the person in front of you is, are they committed on taking action on the importance of what they just told you, not with you? So, Jim, if I could just keep reinforcing that. Asking for commitment level is not a commitment to do business with you or your ideas or closing the sale. It's none of that stuff. It's a commitment level to take action on what they just told you, with me or without me. And sometimes when you ask someone a commitment level question, they'll give you an intellectual response. And it's a bunch of wishy-washy words and it's totally intellectual. So you might have to take it one level deeper and say, can you help me, and put that on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 is you're not committed. 10 is you are. Take me off the table. Where's just the commitment level for my edification? And sometimes, you guys, that number will tell you where you are in the process. It will tell you if you should move on or not. If they say, well, I'm probably a 5, do you really want to move on in the process, or should you stop? Just because they have pain doesn't mean they're committed at a high enough level to do anything about it. If they're an 8 or a 9, you might say, because you don't give 10s, or what's the gap? If it's 8 or 9 and you like that number, then move on. You're ready to move on in the next process. But Jim, I find that professionals get stuck here because they're so programmed and brainwashed to talk about commitment to do the deal or close the deal. This commitment word in Sandler is commitment to take action on the pain.
It's very important that this isn't closing. And if they feel like you're closing, if you don't say those words, let's take me out of the equation. What is your commitment to changing what we've identified? If you miss that step, they're going to feel sold, like you're selling, and you'll see those defenses come right up. You've been melting them away, but they come back up because they feel like you're going in for the kill. And it's way too early to close because we don't yet know what is their budget. We don't know who makes the decisions or how they make the decisions or their timeline. There's a lot of information we have to gather. We're not ready to close.
Right. Jim, I personally have screwed this up and done what you just said not to do.
Yes, many
times. And I'll get answers like, well, it depends on how much it costs.
Yeah.
And that's telling you that a person didn't set that up right.
Yes.
You're really focused on, take me off the table, take my ideas I have. I'm not even sure I can help you yet, but I'm really just trying to stay here and understand, are you even committed at a high enough level to do something about it if you had ideas? Wow, that's a key moment. So as you're looking at structure, you guys, if you can just get really good at teeing these meetings up with your strong upfront contract, sharing what you're listening for, what your concerns are. Go to that elephant in the room when you feel it in the gut. There's one in every sales call. Just go there, nurture it, and when you're done, wrap it all up in a bow, play it back to them, get them to validate you. Don't assume it's important enough to do something about it. Everybody tells me it's important until we start talking about commitment. Tell me about what you see when you see commitment. Take me off the table as an answer. You can really start to see it from a structure. Don't move past those spots till you got it.
And we don't have time in this segment to go on to the next steps of the Sandler, which include the budget step. I like to refer to, Brett, as the commitment step. What are they willing to commit in time, resources, money to fix the problem? One thing that makes that very easy is if in the pain step you've accomplished the mission of pain by number. So give our listeners an overview of what that means.
Yeah, so Jim, and you might have to help me on this. So when I hear that, my brain goes to quantifying their gap. They're at A and they want to be at B, or they're at A and they're losing money here and they're lost opportunity in the future is this number. When I combine those numbers up and get a number, they've been losing 100 grand in the last 2 fiscal years and they feel like they could be more in the next fiscal year coming up. That's in excess of 300,000-400,000. Is that what you mean by that?
Well, in my mind, pain by numbers includes 5 areas. So one is financial. It will have a financial impact, but it also has a time impact, which can also lead to finances. It will have an emotional impact. What's it doing to you internally, your emotions, your team's emotion? It will have impact on your legacy, which to me is your family. I mean, how is this impacting your family because you have this problem going on? Most of us have a very hard time not taking our work home. And then the final area is physical health. I mean, your health can be impacted by your inability to overcome a problem. In the business that you and I have, many of our clients have employees that they know they should have parted ways with years ago, and they can't give themselves permission to do it. It's eating them alive, and they just need some validation that really is the best thing for their employee as well as their company.
Yeah, Jim, so I appreciate you reinforcing that. In my world, I make the mistake of talking about personal impacts, and I'm looking for those answers in those five categories, but I don't drive them like you just laid out. So that's really powerful.
So last 30 seconds, give our listeners some advice. What do you think they should take away from this hour we've spent together?
Well, Sandler talks about having guts. And to have guts, you got to get that self-esteem bulletproof. And you don't need anybody to like you. You need them to respect you. If you can get that thing accomplished, Jim, candidly, it took me 2 years to really be able to say I can do that. If you can get that gut system down, then put the pressure on that upfront contract and let it do all the work for you. If you do a really good job of their agenda and our agenda and tell them what you're listening for, they actually have to live up to what you're listening for. If you can accomplish those two things, I promise you, your sales calls will take you in a whole different direction.
Brent, give your contact information in case somebody would like to reach out to you.
Thanks, Jim. It's Brett Baker. So my email, B as in boy, bbaker@sandler.com, bbaker@sandler.com. Thanks, Jim.
You are so welcome. This is one of those shows that I think could go on all day. I would learn a lot, and I would certainly enjoy. You've been a great guest, Brett.
Thank you.
Listeners, thank you so much for sharing part of your weekend with us. If there's any topic you would like to have us cover, feel free to reach out and ask. We're available at area code 208-429-9275 or on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. Remember, if you measure it, you'll manage it. Have a great week. Hi, this is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. Business leaders today know the largest business expense is often labor. However, most leaders fail to see the greatest labor expense is employee turnover as a result of a poor hiring decision. We have a two-hour workshop on Tuesday, March 24th from 2 o'clock p.m. to 4 o'clock p.m. on how to hire and grow your dream team. In this workshop, you will discover strategies to identify and hire the best candidate, benchmark the ideal traits for the position, assure a cultural fit with your company's core value, and harness leading indicators to make sure that you get the results you expect in the first 90 days. Enhance your hiring skills. Invest $89.95 to attend on Tuesday, March 21st, 2 o'clock p.m. to 4 o'clock p.m. at the Sandler Training Center, 704 East Heritage Court, Meridian, Idaho. Register at crossroads.sandler.com or call us at 208-429-9275. Crossroads.sandler.com or 208-429-9275.